Okay, let's pray, and then we'll get into the lesson we're looking at, the responsibilities of the wife. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you again for our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the opportunity to study the Bible, and especially the opportunity to look at all the different aspects about the role of the husband and wife and parents and children and all the things that we know that are vital in our relationships, that are vital in our church, vital in how we relate to people, and then just, Lord, as our testimony into a fallen world. So, Lord, we just want to be godly people who live as those who've been raised up in Christ Jesus and live in such a way, walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. So, Lord, teach us as we look at our study. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember, the lesson 3 dealt with the role of the wife, and the role of the wife was a twofold thing. It was to submit and respect. We spent a good bit of time on that. We talked about a book called Love and Respect by Emerson Eggersrich, and I think it's the best one I've ever read on helping put that together. We talked about that in the wife's role, as she submits, coming under his authority, that's not obedience, but the submission is a different thing. And then the whole idea of respect is how the man actually feels loved. And we talked a good bit about that, and it's powerful. Now, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to get back with you. Some have already emailed me, but we're really looking for some couples who are down the road a little bit in their marriages and have what we'd say good marriages, who would be willing to help mentor some younger couples, either some couples that are about to get married, that maybe you're going through, you know, getting ready for premarital and getting ready to get married, or some couples that have been married for a short time but would like to interact with a couple that's a little further down the road. Or we'd also, this mentoring couples that we're talking about might be there to help some couples who may be going through some trials. So there are 3 aspects. We're looking for mentoring couples who might be willing to help some as they're getting ready to get married, some who are newly type married, and then maybe some who are struggling or having some issues. Now, as I said last week, if you would like to be considered to help do that, I've got some information coming that I've got a couple of books ordered that I want us to look at and think about some things together. But as we said last week, hopefully if you want to do that, you need to have your marriage pretty much in order, because we talked about this last week. If you're in bad trouble, it'd be hard to mentor somebody else because it would be a mess. But anyway, so I just want to bring that up again. If you're interested in that, if you'll email me or call the church or something like that, I'm putting together a little group, and then we're going to go from there and start something in our church that we've never done that I think is going to be a great idea, and we'll see how that goes. Tied in with that is what we're also seeing in the responsibilities of the wife. And one of those, and we saw it last week, was older women are to do what? Teach the younger women. We're also looking, not necessarily if you say, well, I'm not wanting to do like marriage mentoring that way, but if you're a woman, an older woman in the Bible has already raised her family, raised her children, if you would like to help, want to mentor or to instruct or help guide some younger women, if you'd also let me know. We're trying to put together some things. So let me remind you of something, that the wives were to submit and respect. That was their role. Now the responsibilities, and we raised 2 questions. We should be at the things that the 2 questions, what's the wife to do? What's the wife's responsibilities? There it is. Yeah, here's the 2 questions. What is the wife to do? What's her responsibilities? And what if the husband is not leading? Now, we started on this last time. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And we're looking at what are the responsibilities. I think the first thing up is what is the wife to do? Titus chapter 2. And if you remember, in Titus chapter 2, it talked about the older women and the younger women. If you remember, look. Yes. On the sheet? Oh, I don't know. Let me see where we are. Nobody knows where you are? We are on the part that says responsibility of the wives, and it has 2 questions. And then it says, what is the wife's responsibilities? And it talked about older men and then older women. And we just mentioned the older women. And last time we talked about who is the older woman, who is the younger woman. Older woman is the one who's raised their children. Younger woman is the one who hasn't. And then we're about to write here where it says older women, what they're not to do, and then what they are to do. And then we're down to the page. We're going to actually start today. I think we got this far. Did we not get this far last week about whether they love their husbands, love their children. Yeah, we got that far. Okay, so Susie, we're way over. We're actually going to be about right there where we're going to start. Okay, all right. You notice that some people in the class are a little slow. But, actually, Susie's really fast. Okay, anyway, maybe I better not say that either. Susie, you're just right. Let me just say that. Okay, let's go with that one. Now, if you notice, verse 3 says, older women likewise to be reverent in behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so they may encourage the younger women. And so what we talked about and what we saw was this, that the older women, I'm sorry, go back one slide if you, older women are to teach the younger women. The older women are to invest in the younger women. And if you remember, I don't know, was the other slide before that? Yeah, that one. They're to be reverent, which means godly, not gossips, not wine. But all he's saying is now that these women have more time because they've spent their time raising their children are raised, they're gone, they have more time. They're saying, don't use your time to be gossips and that kind of thing. But he says, here's what you do. The next slide says it plainly. Older women are to teach the younger women. Older women to invest in the younger women. And that's why I said a while ago, if you are an older woman and that just means you've raised your children, if you would like to help invest and some younger women, let me know. And we'll try to pair some things up and get some things going. In the same round, if you're a couple that's been married for a while and you're going down the road and you're doing good, if you would like to help mentor some premarital couples, some young married couples, or even some couples that are not doing as well, we would love to work in that as well. So we'll see that. Now, here's what it says. Older women likewise be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that, here we go, here's the point, so they may encourage the younger women too. And they list four things, basically. Now, I put them together as four. Love their husbands, to love their children, and then I put together to be sensible, pure, kind, that kind of thing, and then workers at home. So we'll talk about it as we go through it. The bottom line is so they'd be subject to their own husbands so that the word of God would not be dishonored. Now, here's what we got, and I'm going to go a little bit quicker because we talked about this last time. But the first thing that the women need to do in their responsibilities is to love their husbands. To love their husbands. Now, literally, as I told you last time, it actually means a husband lover. How does she love her husband? Well, we said submit and respect, and that a man feels loved when he feels respect, and that is a key that will change your marriage. If you've not hit this, if you've not grasped this, if you're not going through this, you got to say, listen, what does it mean to love and respect? How does that all fit? Anyway, she's to love her husband. I think there's two aspects under there. There's the word admiration, and the man, you know, we've talked about this over and over. The guy's the prince and the knight in shining armor, and he's the defender, protector, and he's all of these things, and the wife is the princess to be protected and everything. He must feel that she admires him, that she says, you are good. You are my knight in shining armor. If you remember the movie, On Golden Pond, anybody remember that movie? Henry Fonda, was it Henry Fonda? He was the old man. He was just the most cantankerous old man you ever met in your life. But she went, you are my knight in shining armor. Remember her? You know? What was her name? What was that name, lady's name? Yeah. You are my knight in shining armor. Remember? Because she said, you are. He can't even walk, but he's the knight in shining armor. And that's the way it is. You got to have that. The second thing I put there is support. And what I mean by that, and I was reading through Chuck Swindoll's book called Strike the Original Match. And he said, a wife needs to support her husband as he goes through life. And one of these things is this. In the 20s, when a guy's in his 20s, he's trying to figure out what he's doing in life. He's trying to say, I don't know what I want to do. I mean, I just graduated. I got this, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And she supports him there. Then as he gets in his 30s and he begins to settle down more, but he's taking risks and jobs and moves and positions, she's there to support him. And then when he hits in his 40s and we get what most people call midlife crisis and those kind of things, a man begins to say, I don't know if what I've ever done actually counts. Because We have these dreams. We have these desires that, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to change the world and we're going to do this and this and this. And then you get about 40 and you say, is this all there is? I mean, I don't see a whole lot happening. And the wife needs to be there to say, it is happening. And we're beside you all the way, and we love you. And then when you get in the 60s and retirement and on, that when a person then begins to say, am I any value at all anymore? Now that I don't work so much. You know, I remember when Bear Bryant retired from the University of Alabama. I told somebody then, I said, he will not live very long. He lived 2 weeks after his retirement. What happened to Joe Paterno? Now, there are a lot of things that happened to Joe Paterno. But one of them was he wasn't a football coach anymore. And sometimes with men, and we're so tied into what we do, that if we don't do that anymore, we don't know if our life's worth living. And that's where the woman is there to say, oh yeah, I got you, can't leave me now. We just now got some time, right? We, you know, that's what we're hoping for. So love their husbands, and it's a very powerful thing. Second thing, love their children. And you say, well, a woman naturally loves her children. I don't know, at 3 o'clock in the morning when they're crying, do you naturally love them? Right? And how many times they going to be sick, and how many times they not going to eat, and how many times they going to do this, and especially when they get teenagers and everything else. I mean, so love their children. And literally in the Greek it says be children lovers. And it's just amazing the influence that the woman has. Now, we talked about the influence of the man, and it is huge, especially in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, that man, 85% of the time the man is on fire, the kids will stay that way. 15%, if the man's not on fire, only 15%. So he's got a huge influence, especially in the spiritual realm. But as far as just the home and the life and what the mama does and how she relates to her children, it is powerful. I've said this over and over, and when I do premarital counseling, I say that the woman is the heart of the home. See, before the woman comes, it's a house. When the woman comes, it's a home. That's just the way it is. I mean, think about what a guy's house is before he gets married is like, right? We all laugh. You know, you say to a girl that's going to get married to the guy, say, what's this place like? And they go, oh my gosh. And then you get married, and all of a sudden, it becomes a home. And there's stuff on the walls. And old couches are thrown out into the yard. I had this couch. I thought it was a good couch. Jean said, can I get rid of some of this stuff? And I went, of course, honey, of course. I come home. There's a couch in the yard. It became a home rapidly, you know, and that's just the way it is. So love her husband, love her children. The third thing is, this is a key, be sensible, pure, and kind. Sensible, pure, and kind. It's a Proverbs 31 woman. I always say that this is the one in which the woman has to be godly. There's nothing worse than a beautiful woman who's not holy. And there's a passage, one of the Proverbs, that says, a beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a pig with a ring in its nose. That's what it says. A ring doesn't belong in a pig's nose, and a beautiful woman doesn't need to lack discretion. She's got to be godly. The fourth one is to be worker at home. Now, this one gets a lot of people upset because they don't understand it. It actually says oika ergon, which means a home worker. Some people say that when they read the Bible and it says a worker at home, that it means they can't work outside the home. This is not saying this at all. It is saying that the woman's responsibility is to take care of the house. Doesn't mean the man doesn't help some. The bottom line is that the man is the provider, protector, and the woman is the worker at home because she's the heart of the home. It's her place. A man identifies with his job. A woman identifies with her home. The house can be messed up for a guy, he doesn't care. If it's messed up for the woman, she cares. And she has to be a worker at home, which means take care of the home. It does not mean she can't work outside the home. I remember, this is way, way, way back. I mean, we're talking about when it was a little building, and there were like 50 people coming. I taught some roles, and I taught that the woman was to be worker at home. And I stopped and said, now, this does not mean she can't work outside the home. I said, now listen to me carefully. Do not say, JB said, women cannot work outside the home. I'm not saying that. The next day I got a call and somebody said, I heard you said yesterday that women could not work outside the home. I said, I didn't say that, you know. So when it says workers at home, what this really means is they take care of the home. They make that home function. They're the heart of the home. Okay. And they may have a job, another job. Makes it a lot harder to take care of the home when they have another job, but that's the way it is. This doesn't mean that the man, can't help. I noticed this little quote right here. A man should give his wife a hand around the house, but most wives are not satisfied with the applause. Right? Good job, honey. Giving you a hand around the house. That's not what it means, right? Yeah. Okay. Husbands are required to provide and protect. The family is under attack all the time. Wives and mothers, or let me tell you, nowadays people say things like, oh, you went to college? Yeah. So what are you doing? Well, nothing really. Actually, I'm at home and taking care of the kids. What? So you wasted your college? Of course not. Sometimes people think that being a mom at home or taking care of the house or maybe working a little part-time, but really most of the thing that you do is take care of that house and those children and love that husband and love those children. That is the hardest thing that any woman could ever do. It's the hardest. You just ask the man to do it for about 2 weeks. He'll be back at work because he said, I can't do that. There's no possible way. Think about this. They're teachers. And a woman does so many things. They teach, they decorate, they cook. They put everything together. Listen, if a woman teaches others' children, she's a teacher. She teaches her own children. She's a mom. If she is an interior decorator, she has a career. But if she decorates her own home, she's a mom. If she takes care of others' sickness, whether she's a nurse or a doctor, she takes care of her own children, she's just a mom. That's why that cough medicine, this is the one Dr. Mom prescribes, right? Because some people say, well, she's just a mom, but Lord, what does she do? She takes care of the house. She decorates. She gives food. She takes care of kids. She takes care of sickness. She runs the whole thing. She's the heart. She keeps it all going. It's the hardest thing that anybody could do. They touch their homes, their husbands, their children, as nothing else can. So powerful, powerful, powerful. So realize, older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, be pure women, and take care of the house. Look at the scripture. See what it says. I want you to know this, that over the years I've done approximately 260 weddings. I've done premarital counseling for people I didn't marry, so that means I've probably done premarital counseling of probably close to, could be 275, 300 people that I've done premarital counseling for. Rarely, when people believe the Bible and we come into counseling and we look at the scripture, rarely do we have any problems at all on the roles. Because when people believe the Bible, they look at what the Bible says and they say, if that's what the Bible says, that's what the Bible says. Now here's the big question. What if the husband's not leading? Do you not respect or submit? What if he's not doing what he's supposed to do? We haven't even got to him yet, Danielle. We're going to get to him next week when we talk about his role as the loving leader and his responsibilities as being the provider, protector. But what if he's not doing anything? I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Just turn over there. You just go a little bit more toward the back of your Bible. And we'll go quickly through this. 1 Peter chapter 3. What do you do? What do you do if, let me just say this, what would you do if you're married to someone who's not a believer? Well, we know that you probably shouldn't have married to begin with. If you may not have known that, you may not have been a believer when you got married either. Then you become a believer, he's not a believer. Or what if you're married to a man and he's not living by the word of God? What if he's not leading? What if he's not doing what we know he's supposed to do? You remember the cycle that we said that we got to break that cycle that says, well, if you'll show me respect, I'll show you love. And she says, if you'll show me love, I'll show you respect. You got to stop that cycle and then work. But what do you do if he's not doing what he's supposed to do? Well, 1 Peter 3:1, look what it says. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. This passage basically says, Be obedient. Be submissive to your own husband. And if they're disobedient, they may be won. And it says without a word. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't ever talk to them about truth or anything. Let's say you're married to someone who's not a Christian. That doesn't mean you can't share your faith with them. But the issue of continually harping on them is not going to be the answer, no matter what. Because remember, what happens when a man feels like that he's being corrected all the time? How does he feel? Disrespected. So when it says here that if any of them are disobedient to the word, now they may be disobedient to the word in a couple of ways. They may be disobedient to the word that they've never trusted in Christ. They may be disobedient to the word that they're not living by the word. Here's what it says, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. So it's how you live in relationship to that man. The bottom line is, regardless of what he's doing, you submit and respect. And you love your husband, and you love your children. You be a pure woman, and you take care of the house. You do what you're supposed to do, regardless of what he does. Notice, it deals with your character. Notice, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding of hair and wearing of gold jewelry or putting on a dress, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with an imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. The bottom line. It's an inward character, not an outward appearance. This is really hard. And then look at verse 3. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him what? Lord? And you become her children if you do the right without being frightened by any fear. Bottom line, it says, you do what you're supposed to do, whether he does what he's supposed to do. Now, guess what? When we get over there into the men's role, and we start talking about loving and leading and providing and protecting, we're going to say to the man, you do exactly what you're supposed to do, whether she does anything or not. You got to break the cycle. Because I've had people say, well, but he's not worthy of respect. It's an unconditional respect. It's not earned, not in the marriage relationship. Well, I don't want to submit to him because he's not leading correctly. Do what you're supposed to do so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. So what have we seen? Responsibility is the wife. Yes. What? Oh, Hazel? He did. I think he's going back to an idea of coming under the authority again. Even though I said wives don't obey, sometimes that word is used, but it's not the same word. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you understand that submission and obedience are two different things, because it's not like a parent-child relationship. That's the key I want you to see. This passage is just talking about how, especially in the Old Testament, how the wife was under that authority of a husband, and the daughters were under the authority of the daddy. Until they were married. They could be 25 years old. They're still in the authority of their daddy. You know, that kind of thing. Okay. That's a great, great question. All right. Next time, what's the husband's role? And we'll have at least a lesson on that. And then the next after that is, what's the husband's responsibilities? Now, think about this. As those who are raised up with Christ, we want to live like it. Our society is selfish. There's no commitment. There's damages in the family relationship. The wives are to submit and respect. Her responsibility is to love her husband, love her children, be pure and take care of the home. So let me give you the applications. Ready? Let us as believers set the pattern in the community. And that's hard, because the world is pulling against us in every aspect. Is it not? In everything we do, the world pulls against us. So let us as believers set the pattern in the community. We don't want to be shaped by the culture, because it's so easy to do that. You've heard me say this over and over. If you are not consciously being conformed to the image of Christ, or if you're not constantly being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will be conformed, unconsciously conformed by this world. And it's unconscious. We don't even realize it's happening. It's not, you're not in a limbo state that you're saying, well, I'm not really growing as a Christian, but I'm not really being affected. The truth is this, if you're not consciously deciding that you're going to be transformed by the Word of God, you will unconsciously be conformed to the world. And we got to be careful, and it happens in our marriages, it happens in every aspect of our lives. We have to consciously say, we're going to live out these roles, we're going to do all of this, we're going to do it in a fallen world system so people can see the pattern of what exactly is the way. Second, wives, was that the second bill? It was. Okay, wives, fulfill your responsibilities. What are they? Love your husband, love your children, be pure, take care of the home. It all goes together. Morton Kelsey says this, the real test of my loving is not that I feel loving, but the other person feels loved by me. And that idea is we come across and we do what we're supposed to do, whether we feel like it or not. Now, I have to tell you, how many of you want to do things you don't feel like doing? I never want to do anything I don't feel like doing, right? But let me tell you what I do every day. I never feel like getting up. I get up at 4:20 almost every day, and never once have I wanted to get up at 4:20. Just got to do it. And women, this passage says, you submit and respect, you love your husband, you love your children, you be a pure woman, and you take care of the house. Whether you feel like it or not, do it, whether he does what he's supposed to do or not, and let's see what happens. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our passage. Thank you for these truths. Lord, just I pray that as we think about the women, we realize that they are amazing. Thank you for each one of us and the fact that you've brought them into our lives. And Lord, we know that they're special and unique, created by you. They think differently, and everything is different. And yet, Lord, you've given roles and responsibilities to all of us, and for the women there to submit and respect as they love their husbands, love their children, be pure women, and take care of the home. May they do that. And then, Lord, as we think about the men coming up, what we're supposed to do, may we do what we're supposed to do, standing strong, being men and women of God, living biblically in a fallen world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.